The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Acts 17:10-11. What a wonderful trait for people to have. The disposition to search the scriptures, to inquire into that which is taught. My sincere desire and prayer this morning is that those of you from the listening audience, that we all might have the same courage and determination as did those people back there in Berea, to have the readiness of mind to search the scriptures and determine whether or not that which is taught comes from the Word of God or whether it does not. I would hope that you and the radio audience will examine what I present. Be sure that what I say is based on the Thus Saith the Lord, because that which I present to you is of little value unless it's based on God's Word. Will you not follow in the light of God's Word this morning, carefully examining what shall be said? Your speaker this morning is Robert Swain, the regular preacher for the Rivermont Church of Christ. Once again, I express my appreciation to you for tuning in, and I invite you to tune in each Saturday morning at 9:45 to the Seeds of Truth. It's my sincere desire that these broadcasts may be of value to those of you who have so honored us with your time. Last week, I spoke concerning the proper attitude that mankind must have toward the Bible, God's Word. I pointed out that in order for God's Word to have its effect in our lives, that we must be submissive to it, we must have the disposition to hear all things that have been commanded of the Lord, as so stated by the man Cornelius in Acts 10:33. We must be ready and willing to gladly receive the Word, Acts 2:41. There are far too many who do not have this attitude toward the Bible. I hope you're not one of them. In Hebrews 11:6, we read, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But Paul the Apostle in Romans 10:17 tells us, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the only process of producing faith which man must have if he's to please God. But this faith comes through hearing. One must hear God's Word, which is the truth, as Christ himself tells us in John 17:17, as we saw last week. Our minds must accept what God demands of us. Our intellect must be challenged to believe in God. But you know, we hear a great deal today about heartfelt religion. And I suppose most of this means that the feelings must have sway over the mind. But what about the heartfelt religion? It seems strange that many seemingly have not learned that the Bible heart is the part of man that can be reasoned with. Paul says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What does man do with the heart? He believeth unto righteousness. Truly, there is an emotional impact upon the one who does God's will as that person realizes he stands before the presence of an eternal Creator, justified by the blood of Christ, with the opportunity to worship and serve Him. How exhilarating it is to know that the blood of Christ cleanses one as he or she walks in the light. Hear the Apostle John in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But this emotional impact can come only as one through knowledge understands and obeys the commandments of Jesus Christ. Our mind is not our breast. It is not our blood pump that serves the Lord. It is our intellect, our will, our mind, our heart. As there is a proper attitude or attitudes that one must have toward the Word of God, there are likewise some improper attitudes. And so for the remainder of our time this morning, I invite you to study with me some of the attitudes which man should not have. First, some say that the Bible cannot be understood. They say that we do not have the ability to comprehend it. Some even go so far as to think that God never intended for us to understand it. While others say only certain ones can understand it, only a certain group, and the others must wait to be told what it says. And now may I state as forcibly as I know how, this just is not so. This is a wrong attitude toward the Bible. And so I ask you, our listening audience, why did God give us His book? What was His purpose in allowing it to be written? Now, if God demands that we obey Him, and truly He does, then He has endowed us with the ability to understand. You can understand the Bible, if you so desire. Granted, there are difficult passages where misunderstanding have come, but that which God expects of each of us is within the grasp of each one of us, if we but make an effort to study and to learn. But so often, we're just too lazy to put our mind to the challenge of understanding what the will of the Lord is. We can understand just about anything that we set our mind to, but so often we excuse ourselves from studying the Word of God with a very flimsy excuse. I just can't understand it. What really ought to be said is, I just don't want to take the time to study the Bible, to read it, to learn it, and most of all, to put it into practice. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. If you have the mental ability to understand the multitude of things called upon us as modern people to comprehend, then you can understand the Bible. Isn't it strange people can build and use the million and one things available to us? We can send a man to the moon, but we can't understand the Bible. I encourage you, my listening audience, become a student of God's Word. Read it. Learn from it. And most of all, do what it requires of you to do. Another improper attitude closely aligned with the first one is, we can't understand the Bible alike. Well, if this be so, that we cannot understand it alike, then it means that the Lord expects one thing from you, something else from your neighbor, and still another thing from others, each doing something different. If this is so, does that not make God a respecter of persons? And yet the Apostle Peter says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him, Acts 10:34 and 35. Peter states that God is no respecter of persons. Man comes along and says God is a respecter of persons. If not by his words, then by his actions. Whom shall you believe? Notice also, Peter said, those who fear God work righteousness. What's that mean? That means they do God's commandments. The Son of God in the shadow of the cross prayed for the unity of all believers. Let's listen to him. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 17:20-21. Religious division breeds atheism, infidelity, unbelief. Does this sound like Christ believes that we can understand alike? Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Paul also said to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 4:1-4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Christ prayed for unity. Paul commanded unity. The early church was encouraged to keep the unity of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about what men want to call the ecumenical movement, but I'm talking about unity founded upon God's Word, the truth. There's a vast chasm between religious union and religious unity. Now, you might tie two cat's tails together and hang them over a clothesline and call it union, but it would be a far cry from unity. Are we whistling in the wind when we quote the prayer of Christ for unity and call upon man to strive to obtain or work toward that unity? Did Christ mean what he stated in his prayer? Did not Paul speak about the unity of the Spirit in Ephesians 4:3? This can be attained by walking in the light of Christ Jesus, 1 John 1 and 7, which brings about a fellowship between the one so walking and God. And when two walk together with God, they of necessity will be walking together with one another. Amos, in the long ago, said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3 and 3. May we have the courage to lay down the doctrines and schemes of men and to pick up our Bible and to unite upon that. The third improper attitude we notice is many go to the Bible for the wrong purpose. Far, far too many make up their mind on a subject, form a preconceived idea, then go to the Bible to prove it. And thus, so often, the study becomes biased and colored with that particular notion. The Apostle Peter warned, as also in Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. This is why I invite you to examine what I shall say from time to time on this program. Examine it with the Bible. Be as the people of Berea were. Be noble. Search the scriptures. Determine for yourselves what the Lord commands of you. Truly, we must approach the Word of God with a proper attitude, or else it has no value to us. When we do approach it correctly, it brings blessings that are found nowhere else, joys that are unspeakable, and impressions that are unlimited. It tells us how to become a child of God and how to please our Heavenly Father. Again, I thank you for being in our audience, the Rivermont Church of Christ, bringing you this broadcast, meets each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study, at 11 a.m. for morning worship, and again Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for evening worship. You have a cordial invitation to attend any or all of the services. We also meet at 7:30 on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. And again, we're located at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. If you have a question, or if you have a comment, or if you would like a copy of this message, or if you would be interested in a free Bible correspondence course, please contact us at our meeting address or call us at 804-530-1764. And until next Saturday morning at 9:45, I bid you a very pleasant good morning.